The first-time penalty for possessing up to 14 grams of marijuana in Wisconsin could be brought down to a $100 fine and no jail time. That's one of the objectives of a new bipartisan bill a pair of state lawmakers introduced this week. On the other hand, the measure would actually increase penalties in some communities. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Where do you stand on legalizing marijuana? Do you support medicinal but not recreational? Both? Neither? Why or why not? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Bureau reporter. She covered a press conference earlier this week held by the bill's co-sponsors, Republican Representative Shea Sortwell from Two Rivers and Democratic Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez of Milwaukee. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There have been efforts to change marijuana laws over the years in Wisconsin. They haven't gone very far. Can you remind us before we look at this new proposal, what we've seen in the past?
So we've seen a lot of action on marijuana bills over the past several years and certainly before as well. But I think it's become sort of a different kind of conversation since Governor Tony Evers took office. He has included marijuana proposals in both of his state budgets. The first state budget that he released in 2019 had legalization of medical marijuana in Wisconsin. His most recent state budget included legalization of recreational marijuana in the state. So this is something that he has certainly, backed, but it hasn't been possible because of the Republican majorities in the state legislature. They haven't taken those up. We've seen, in the past, lawmakers under a Republican governor trying to push these bills from the Democratic side. For the most part, there have been some bipartisan medical marijuana bills as well, but just not enough support from the Republican side to get those through.
So here's this new proposal, a Republican and a Democrat getting together on this. It is not legalization exactly, not even decriminalization exactly. What would it do?
Basically, what it would do is create a statewide standard for what marijuana possession penalties are going to look like in Wisconsin for the most part. So right now, the state penalty is for possession, first-time possession. It's a misdemeanor, which comes with a jail sentence of up to 6 months, a penalty up to $1,000. There's obviously some discretion there in sentencing. The interesting part about state law where this is concerned, though, is that local communities are allowed, if they want to, establish their own penalties for possession up to a certain amount, up to about 28 grams of marijuana. And so some communities in Wisconsin, including Madison and Milwaukee, obviously the two biggest communities, have done that, and they have pretty low penalties. Madison actually doesn't pursue any penalties for possession if folks are over 18 years old and they have less than 28 grams. In Milwaukee County, the fine is just $1. This is also the case in the city of Eau Claire, for example. There's a $1 fine. So it really varies across the state. And under this proposal, there would be a new state standard where it would be a $100 civil forfeiture, similar to a speeding ticket, or a cap of a $250 civil forfeiture. So it kind of sets these parameters for communities that they say, you can still do this. You can still kind of set your own guidelines, your own penalties, but it has to be within this window. It does offer the potential for community service, at least 16 hours, not more than 40 hours, if they don't want to have that penalty. But obviously, when you're looking at a place like Madison that doesn't do anything, this would increase what's happening there, right? So definitely a little bit complicated, but an interesting dynamic.
Talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, about a bipartisan proposal for a change in fines and the laws regarding marijuana in Wisconsin. I want to give a listen to the Democratic co-sponsor, Representative Ortiz-Velez, talking earlier this week about another aspect of the bill.
What we should think about is whether or not We believe that small possession of marijuana really rises to a felonious act. It does not.
So, Laurel, felonies for marijuana. Now, first offenses, I don't think, are where do felonies enter the picture here?
So felonies enter the picture here when you have repeat offenses, possession offenses with marijuana. And what this proposal would do outside of that sort of standardization of the penalties that I talked about is it would take away those felony charges for repeat possession as long as the amount in the charge, in the repeat possession charge, is less than 28 grams. And supporters say this is really important because felony charges, as we know, are a serious thing for folks to have on their record. They put up barriers for things that you can do and can't do in the state. They make it harder for folks to get jobs, for folks to get housing. And so supporters say this change would be really beneficial to a lot of Wisconsinites.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Kevin is with us in Pembine. Kevin, hi.
Hello, yes. I just heard about this first thing this morning on the news. But what I hear, it's all great and everything. I think it's good. But really, it's very time for the state to consider legalization, because I told the gal on the phone, I don't know if you guys have any idea how much tax revenue is flowing out of the state of Wisconsin into Illinois and Michigan. And I'm a proud contributor to the tax base of Michigan myself personally. And it's time, you know. I mean, they're losing a lot of money.
Kevin, thanks for that call. And you referenced Laurel, Governor Evers proposing legalization as budget, and the budget counted on some of that revenue that Kevin's talking about.
It sure did, yeah. When he proposed recreational marijuana legalization in this last budget, he figured in quite a lot of revenue that would come from that. And that's another argument that proponents have made for quite a while. Is that the revenue that it would bring in, and have noted that Wisconsin is kind of surrounded by states that have more lenient, you know, laws related to marijuana and legalization. You know, Illinois has recreational marijuana. Michigan, as mentioned, has recreational marijuana. Minnesota has medical. So that's definitely a big part of the conversation, but that argument just hasn't been compelling enough for the Republican-controlled legislature so far.
Thanks for that call. I want to give a listen now to the Republican co-author here, Republican Shay Sortwell, talk about this as a bipartisan effort.
I believe this bill that we have put together does our best to kind of pull together the best of both worlds, try to bring together all perspectives across the state to try to find some sort of middle ground where we can move forward.
Still early days for this legislation, Laurel. Does it seem like members of either or both parties are jumping forward and onto what we just heard described as middle ground there?
Well, we know so far there are about a dozen sponsors from, you know, combination of the two parties. It does have bipartisan support, obviously, already. It's going to be really interesting to see how far this moves in the process. Representative Sortwell said that he, quote, didn't get a no from Republican leadership about whether this was going to get a committee hearing and move forward through that sort of, you know, step-by-step legislative process. But his argument there, as we heard, is that, you know, they believe, sponsors believe that this is a middle ground. It doesn't please everybody. It certainly doesn't legalize marijuana. But it doesn't, ramp up penalties in a huge way either. So it's not really on either side of the issue. They say this is a middle ground. Nobody wins, but hopefully it's a step forward for folks. So that's kind of where it's at right now.
We'll leave it there. Laurel, thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. We talked with her about a new bipartisan bill aimed at lowering penalties for possessing marijuana in most of Wisconsin. There are, as we heard, some communities that would actually see an increase in fines. Coming up, we'll talk with a congressional reporter about a pair of marijuana bills at the federal level and their prospects for getting passed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about how marijuana, medicinal and recreational, is treated by the federal government? Do you want to see the states keep taking the lead? Do you want Wisconsin to do something? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We just heard about a bipartisan effort in Wisconsin to address marijuana policy. Now we'll look at efforts in the nation's capital to move the needle, though Democrats there may be getting in their own way, our next guest reports. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on marijuana legalization or decriminalization at the state or federal level. The number is 800-642-1234. Mike DeBonis covers Congress for The Washington Post. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You've been following two bills, Mike, one fairly narrow, one bigger when it comes to marijuana before Congress. Can you compare and contrast? What are these two pieces of legislation looking like?
Sure. Like most things on Capitol Hill, you know, the bigger you go, sometimes the narrower the support gets. So on marijuana, there's a narrower bill that just has to do with the banking system. Basically, what it does is give legitimate businesses in states that have legalized cannabis in some way access to the banking system. It makes it, basically tells banks that if you want to do business with legitimate businesses, where the federal government is not going to charge you, it's not going to investigate you, it's not going to levy the administrative fines against you, you go ahead and do business with them. And that's a big issue for businesses who in states that are operating legally. Right now, a lot of them have to deal solely in cash. You know, it really is a cash-only business that leads to all sorts of security concerns, logistical concerns. It's become a big problem, and it's really been something that states want to see handled because they see it as a security issue, a law enforcement issue. And, you know, they basically want to rationalize this system. And there's been legislation now for 8 years in Congress to basically do this. It hasn't gone anywhere for a variety of reasons. Now you have Democrats in charge of, you know, the White House, the House, the Senate. You know, they are generally not, you know, 99% of the members are in favor of legal, you know, some sort of marijuana decriminalization. There's great, almost universal support for the banking bill. But what you have is you have an effort by many of these members to do something much broader, something that includes actually decriminalizing marijuana, taking it off the schedule of controlled substances, making it something that's taxed federally, something that's regulated federally. And these latest Democratic proposals have, you know, racial justice provisions in them. They basically say that this tax money that's raised should go to the communities that were most affected by the drug war. That money should be funneled back into those communities. There should be programs to help minority entrepreneurs get into business. Obviously, though, those provisions are controversial. They are not. They don't have much support, if any, among Republicans, and that makes it hard to move forward with this legislation, particularly in the Senate, where you need, you know, 10 Republican votes under the filibuster to make progress. And so that's where things are right now. And Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, has made the decision that he is not going to move a piecemeal bill like the Safe Banking Act. What he's going to do is try to get support for this broader bill, even though it's really unclear how that is going to happen, how there's a path to passage for that broader bill. So right now, things are stuck.
And you report that some supporters of a broader bill worry that if they do the smaller thing, the banking and marijuana-related bill, that that'll be all the progress and people will give up on wider efforts. Do I have that right?
Yeah, basically, it takes away the momentum for doing something more. You know, this is something that we've seen happen on any number of issues. You know, immigration comes to mind. There are people who do small things that or are ready to do small things on immigration, but there are a lot of members that don't want to do the small deal because they're afraid that takes away momentum for the big deal that brings in a lot of other different issues that they want to see resolved. And it's kind of a classic story, but it can be a frustrating one, particularly for businesses in states, you know, like, you know, Colorado, Oregon, you know, go down the list of states that have legal recreational marijuana at this point. You know, this is by some estimates an $18 billion a year business revenue-wise across the country for legal marijuana. And, you know, they basically have no access to the banking system. They have to deal in cash. They have to do all sorts of workarounds. And it causes just a lot of problems that could be pretty easily resolved through an actually very short piece of legislation.
We're talking about marijuana policy and Congress. Mike DeBonis is with us from the Washington Post, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want federal law to change to decriminalize marijuana? What about this smaller banking bill that makes it legal, easier for banks to get involved in the marijuana business and make loans to it in states unlike Wisconsin where it is legal? Let's bring on a caller now. Colette is with us in Sauk County. Colette, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Colette?
Well, I believe it should be legalized. A lot of Wisconsinites are driving to Illinois just to use to go and purchase their marijuana and then driving back to Wisconsin. So basically, we're giving our taxes away to Illinois. We could be getting them here. And also, a lot of people, they use it for pain. When they use it, they're relaxed, they're calm, rather than going to the bar, getting all hyped up and, you know, drunk. I just think that it should be legalized. I don't know why it hasn't yet.
Colette, thanks a lot for the call. Mike Colette bringing up the revenue argument. And it's also a patchwork issue. Are people in Congress talking about the weird situation that's created when it's legal in some states, so like Illinois and not in Michigan, but not in other states like Wisconsin?
Yeah, for sure. And that's sort of underlying this whole issue is that, you know, particularly for conservatives, you know, this argument that states should, you know, be able to do what, you know, sort of choose their own destiny on their laws and not have to worry about federal intervention is kind of driving some of the Republican support for this. And, you know, that's where the sort of the common ground lies. And where you lose common ground is where you start talking about things like taxing and regulating, and then you get into how much should the taxes be. You know, the heavy hand of federal regulation obviously is rarely popular among conservative lawmakers. That's when things get more complicated. But when you frame it in terms of we're going to protect states who are trying to do what and follow their own destiny, do what they want, protect them from federal intervention, that's pretty powerful argument that can attract Republicans.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Mike DeBonis from the Washington Post. Let's go back to your calls now. Sean is with us from South Beloit, Illinois. Sean, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about from south of our border there?
Yeah, so I actually was originally from Wisconsin. I actually was, when I was younger, I was on the First Offenders Program when I was unfortunately caught for marijuana. And I successfully completed the program for that First Offenders Program. And now I actually live in South Beloit, Illinois, due to the fact that I can legally obtain marijuana for myself due to medical issues for myself. And I do think it would be great for Wisconsin to, you know, get on that realm where they're able to, just for younger people, older people, just to be able to not have to deal with either the fact of, you know, misdemeanor charges, felony charges for multiple offenses, but just for younger people, maybe not to deal with the first offenders program where they have to deal with like a year, worrying about other illegal charges that may happen. Because I just know that was an extra stressor for me as a younger person, just turning 18.
Sean, thanks a lot for sharing your story. Mike, Sean voting with his feet there. And public opinion, at least according to polling, has changed a lot on this issue. I think that's been pushing some states to legalize. Is Congress watching that changing opinion?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been a huge shift and it's happened fairly fast. Pew did a poll earlier this year, a plurality of U.S. Adults now believe that recreational marijuana should be legalized. Almost as many, you know, another chunk of the population believes it should be legalized for medicinal use. Together, that's 90% of the population that agrees that it should be legal in some manner. It's just a huge shift, and it's to a lot of people in Congress, it's unconscionable that there really has been no significant change to federal drug laws since really the height of the drug war in the 80s and 90s. They just have not changed at all, and there's been no effort to accommodate states that have decided at the state level to decriminalize or legalize cannabis.
Sean, thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. David is with us in Madison. David, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I'm a chronic pain patient, and I listened pretty intently to the fellow who was on a week ago talking about the opioid epidemic, all the problems with that. He doesn't even think that there are people who live with chronic pain. The guy hasn't got it. So maybe if marijuana would help me get off of my opioids that I've been prescribed to for over a decade, and I'm in my 70s, and I go to a couple, three different pain groups, and nobody there can use marijuana for medical use or whatever, because we all end up at a moment's notice have to give a urine sample.
David, I'm sorry to hear about that chronic pain story. Is this something, Mike, people are bringing up, marijuana as an option for people like David, as opposed to our ongoing opioid crisis?
It is 100% that you hear this a lot. That you hear it a lot, especially from Republicans who represent areas that have been really affected by the opioid crisis. We saw just this week a Republican congressman from North Carolina, Nancy Mace, introduce a decriminalization bill. It would take marijuana off the list of controlled substances. It would do some tax and regulation, smaller than what the Democrats want. But you know, she has pitched this in part, like I said, on the states' rights issue, that states should be able to do what they want. But there's a lot of sentiment among Republicans that the medicinal, you know, aspects of this are compelling, particularly when you see it as an alternative to opioids.
And we'll have to leave it there. Thanks to Mike DeBonis from The Washington Post, looking at marijuana policy.